In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Weekday afternoons from 2 to 5
with Wisconsin Sports Daily on WSSP Milwaukee, 1250 AM, The Fan.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Some shows talk about one team.
Other shows barely talk sports. This show.
We'll talk Packers, yeah! Brewers, yeah! And Bucks.
Yeah! Every day. This show will talk sports every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily.
With Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
On 1250 AM, The Fan.
Day number two, still here, still doing our thing. Charlie Husen producing the show as well. He's other side of the glass. I know overall I thought show number one went pretty good. Seems like quite a few of you enjoyed the show yesterday. Appreciate you for listening. And as we talked about yesterday, the key thing here is going to be just, you know, spreading the word as much as we can. You're going to see me use hashtag community a lot, because that's kind of what I want it to be. Right, I want it to be a community sports talk show. Everybody can be involved one way or the other. If you can't call from work or whatever, that's fine. You can tweet at us. No big deal, right? If you can call from, you know, your job, or if you're on the road, or if you're at home or whatever, that's great too. Always enjoy calls more than anything else. And again, program the number into your phone, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250, and just keep it, right? In your phone, and that way you always have it. You don't got to sit there and wait for me to give you the numbers all the time. You already have it. Coming up on today's show, Tim Dillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst, brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. Of course, that is the place where the movie Major League was shot, in that horseshoe bar when they're all chanting and going crazy in the big game towards the end of the movie. And it's high-end food, folks. High-end food. Steaks, lobster, crab legs. And of course, they've got the burgers. The steak sandwich is great. Had the steak sandwich a couple weeks ago when I was in there. CJ does a great job of running that place. So thanks to them for being a sponsor of Tim Dillard. He'll join us weekly. Looking forward to talking to Tim throughout the baseball season. Lots to talk about concerning the Brewers today. So we'll do that at 2:40. Also going to get into some of the issues that happened in last night's baseball game. We'll do that in the 3 o'clock hour. Lots to talk about there. Also, I want to talk about this being 10 years today, 10 years today, Jim Ozarski wrote a great piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about 10 years ago today was the press conference and the Bucks officially being sold and taken over by the new ownership group that bought it from Herb Cole. It was a great piece on Wes Edens and so forth. I want to talk about that as far as, like, you know, how do we grade the Bucks ownership group? And you remember kind of like what your thoughts were back then 10 years ago when this whole transition happened. We'll get into that in the 4 o'clock hour. And then towards the end of the show, unless something newsworthy breaks, I didn't talk at all about Caitlin Clark or anything like that, but I think a fairly pretty good-sized opinion on this whole Caitlin Clark thing, because to a certain degree, some of this, in my opinion, has been completely overblown. But we'll talk about that coming up in the last segment of the show. But we got to start off the show talking about Giannis. Yeah, Giannis. Oh, by the way, we are going to talk Packers. That's at 3:40. Christian Watson will be the topic du jour at 3:40 as far as our Packer talk goes today. But I want to talk about Giannis. And the reason we have to talk about Giannis is because Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN earlier today tweeted out pretty much the same thing that Sham Sharani tweeted out yesterday. And everybody acted like, oh my goodness, this is breaking news. It wasn't breaking news. He just tweeted out the same damn thing Sham Sharani tweeted out yesterday. There was, he literally, as far as I'm concerned, he didn't add anything to it, to the story. I don't, and I know it's Adrian Wojnarowski, Wojbub, yada, yada, yada. Fine, I get it, right? I mean, he's the best at what he does. Sharani is right there with him, right? So if he's one, Shams is 1A, whatever. But so the whole basis of what both of them have been talking about the last 2 days is the Bucks don't know if Giannis is going to be ready to play to start the series against the Indiana Pacers. And if you were listening to Wisconsin Sports Daily yesterday, we talked to Eric Name at, 2:30, 2:35 yesterday. And you can go back and listen to that if you missed it right there, 1250amthefan.com, Wisconsin Sports Daily podcast page. Boop, click there, and you can go back and listen to it. We've been having some issues with the Odyssey app since the weekend. So that's why it's been hard for you to find things that you may be looking for. I've also realized that I've had some issues trying to find things on my Droid, yet people that have iPhones and Apple can seemingly find things that they see that I can't see on my Droid. So bear with us. It is being worked on by corporate, and they'll figure it out at some point here. But I do know Wisconsin Sports Daily podcast page at 1250amthefan.com does have this Eric Name interview from yesterday in that whole first hour. So Eric Name, in the interview, when I asked him about this whole deal with Giannis and the Sham Sharani report, referenced back to Kevin Durant at Golden State. And pretty much said that, you know, it's in your mind if you're the Bucks, because you know what happened. Durant had the calf strain, thought he was good enough to come back. He did, and then blew out his Achilles. And as Eric pointed out, that takes you out for not only the playoffs, it takes you out for the entire next season, and possibly, depending on rehab and so forth, into the following season after that. So if you blow the Achilles, to say that you played in a Pacers series, you lose all of next year if he blows the Achilles. Now, again, well, we don't know. We don't know if that'll happen or not. But what we do know is Giannis will want to play. Charlie, I ask you, how would you handle Giannis for this Pacers series coming up on Sunday?
The main thing that a lot of people have been saying is that after our talk yesterday, we were talking about if Damian Lillard should be traded. A lot of people on Twitter were saying that, no, we need to run it back another year. My thought is I kind of agree with them on this. So going into this Pacers series, I say rest Giannis. Don't let him tear that Achilles. I know he'll want to play. I know the type of player that Giannis is. But that's just too risky for a franchise which is on the border of falling off here pretty soon.
I think that is a sentiment that is going to be hard to handle if you're a Bucks fan. Because you have Damian Lillard, who you just got this season. Here's your chance to get back to a championship with Damian Lillard. Now, we've been playing well. You've lost 8 of 11 and all of that. But that is the question, Bucks fans. We want to know where you're at. Are you with Charlie? My producer, or are you somewhere else here? How would you handle this if you're the Bucks? How would you handle Giannis coming up for this Pacers series? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Fill these phone lines up, and let's get a bunch of y'all on to talk about this. Obviously, I don't think there's a wrong answer. There can't be. We're not God. We don't know how this is going to play. We have no idea. I mean, you can call up and be like, I'm playing on Sunday. I don't care. We'll take our chances. And if he plays Sunday and plays through the playoffs and never gets hurt, then that's great. If he plays Sunday and blows the Achilles, then we're going to go crazy. What the heck were the Bucks thinking? And Charlie brought it up. And I brought it up to Eric Name. Like, do you have any idea of how difficult this is going to be to look at Giannis and say, dude, you're not playing this series? We're not going to tell the media that. We're going to tell the media you're day-to-day, so the Pacers have to kind of prepare for the fact that you might have to play. So publicly, we're going to tell them that, nah, maybe. You can get a little bit better. We'll see what happens. Now, you're not going to be able to hide it, though, right? So if he's limping and literally can't play, then everybody's going to know that, okay, he's not playing this series. But if he walks out and he doesn't have the walking boot on, and he's walking fine, he's not grimacing, and he looks fine, the Bucks could still say, he's close, but he's not there yet. And just wait. I said yesterday on Wisconsin Sports Daily that I would slow play it to the fact of, if you are up in this series or tied after the first two games at home, I'm not playing him in Indiana, because then it's coming back, right? If you're up 2-0 or it's 1-1, then I'm going to wait and see what happens the next two games. And if the series is tied at 2, then you make a call at that point whether or not you want to play Giannis. But that, to me, is the best way to do it. Not playing him in Milwaukee. First two games. Not happening. And then we'll see where we're at. Now, if you're in a 2-0 hole, and now game 3 is coming and you're in Indianapolis, then as an organization, you have to have the conversation amongst yourself. Is it really worth it? And part of this is it really worth it stuff is what you've played like. I mean, literally, John Horst and Peter Fagan could be like, hey, look, maybe it's not our year. I mean, everything we've been through this year as an organization, maybe it's just not our year. Maybe this is just a sign that, you know, if we get bounced, you know, it happens, whatever. We regroup, we go back next year, and we try to win a championship next year. Because, if we're being honest, there haven't been a lot of signs pointing towards this team winning a championship this season. There really hasn't been. The only thing that has you and me probably saying, yes, they can win a championship is the fact that you still have Damian Lillard, you still have Giannis, you still have Chris Middleton, you still have Brook Lopez, you still have Bobby Portis. And those guys give you hope that that's enough to win a series and win another series and win another series. If they're all right, if they're all healthy, and they're all playing at the top of their game, you still have enough talent to beat anybody, in my opinion. You may disagree, but in my opinion, from a talent perspective, you're right there. Now, obviously, there's a million other things that go into this other than just talent. Championships aren't won on paper. I get it. But is winning this series more important than having your best player lost for the entire next season? And if you've listened to me before on the Big Show, or Sparky's Midday Madness, or back when I did the morning show, whatever, there is one thing that is absolutely certain when it comes to me and athletes. I am a scaredy cat. I don't want a starting cornerback returning punts. No interest. If he gets hurt, I'm going to be livid. Because he shouldn't be back there anyhow. I don't want a wide receiver that's starting returning punts, because I don't want to take a chance of him getting hurt. So you put me into this situation here, I'm going to be more of a scaredy cat and say, I don't want to lose all of next year. The other thing, which, again, they will say, that's not part of the equation, Sparky. It will never come up. Those are two separate things. Yeah, maybe. But as an owner and as a president of a basketball team, you have to think of business too. What are ticket sales going to look like for the Bucks next year if Giannis is gone for the year? are ticket sales going to look like? They're going to take a huge hit if Giannis doesn't play next year. You're going to take a huge hit not only from this fan base, but you're going to lose all the fan bases that want to come see Giannis. And Lillard's nice, but are you driving from Memphis, Tennessee to come see Damian Lillard? Doubt it. Are you driving from Indiana to come see Lillard? Probably not. But those same people would drive to come see Giannis. Those same people would fly from wherever in the world to come see Giannis. If Giannis is not playing next year because he's hurt, you are going to cost yourself a bunch. And not only would you cost yourself individual ticket sales, you'll cost yourself group ticket sales. That all has to be brought out here and thought about. Giannis don't care about any of that stuff. He just wants to play. That's going to be the toughest thing, is keeping him off the floor. We'll see. How'd you handle the Giannis situation going into this Pacers series? If you were the Bucks, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Mike in Shorewood, you're first up on Wisconsin Sports Daily. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Sparky? We can't risk Giannis even more serious injury. So I think from the Bucks' perspective, you're looking at, even if he is, because we know he's a Warrior, he's going to fight to get back in the series. They got to look at it like he's maybe most likely going to miss the first round. And to me, regardless, even if he did play, Indiana Pacers are a legit damn good team, man. They got the most explosive offense in the league. And we know how tough they play the Bucks, and they don't fear the Bucks, as we saw with the numerous run-ins they've had each other, going back to Giannis's record ball, the playing game. So there's a lot of bad blood between these teams. So if you're the Bucks, you're looking at it as if it's going to be all hands on deck. To me, Bobby Portis, this is good. His name calling. Dame, obviously, we know that. Brook Lopez. But to me, Bobby Portis has got to be that X factor. We know he's shown at times he's been as valuable as any Buck, where he can pick up the scoring pace. And you're going to need it, because these games against the Pacers are probably going to be in the 120s. So if you're Bucks Nation, I thought this would go six, the Bucks, if Giannis played. This is probably going to go seven. And I'm hoping the Bucks pull it off, because it would be a monumental disaster if, say, he doesn't come back, even comes back, and they end up losing the series, which is a possibility, because this Pacers team is really dangerous. So hold on your horses, man. Sunday night, game one, I'm going to be there if I serve. It's going to be nervous energy, man, because we know with Halliburton and Siakam, Siakam is going to be able to feast. He's going to, without Giannis, nobody really can check him. And Brook Lopez didn't want to get in foul trouble. So, guys, Deer Nation, everybody else, hey, this is, buckle in, man. This is probably going to go seven, and hopefully we're on the winning part of this, or else there's going to be a lot of nervous energy around that Bucks franchise.
Yeah, Mike, when you walk out of that game, get in your car, you call up the Potawatomi Sports Pro Hoops postgame show, buddy. We'll talk after the game. Mike calls all the time, but I'm using that to remind the rest of you to call into the postgame show Sunday after the playoff game. Served up by Wendy's, by the way. When the Bucks win, you win. This is the thing. You did have Chris Middleton 2 years ago. You lost to the Celtics. And that was the excuse. We would have had Middleton, we would have won. And I think that's true. Last year, you lost Giannis for a couple of games. Should have been more, probably. And you got bounced. And the Heat team ended up going on a big run, obviously. And that was it. If you don't have Giannis in this Pacers series, I don't know, man. I'm just being honest. I don't know. I don't know if they can win this series without Giannis. Now, we'll ask you specifically for your predictions coming up. Probably on Friday we'll do that. I don't know if they can win the series without Giannis. Just being honest. You're going to have heroic-type stuff from Lillard. Portis will have to play really well consistently, home or away, because he's always better, in my opinion, watching eye test. At home, because he feeds off of you all. The crowd is so important for that guy. Like, I don't know if I can come up with another player that fed off the crowd as much as Bobby Portis. I mean, it's like you're the crowd, y'all are the spinach, and he's Popeye. And y'all just feed him a bunch of spinach, and his biceps just bulge up, and he's ready to take on the world. That's kind of what it is for Bobby Portis. It's all about you. You really make that dude go. And Ron, when you get on the road, not as much. Now, Pat Beverly shows up. He kind of pokes and prods at him, whatever, kind of trying to get him going. But so Bobby Portis got to be that good at home and on the road. And we got to find Brook Lopez, who's been lost in space most of this year. Like, we need old Brook Lopez back. We need Mike Budenholzer Brook Lopez back. They need that guy. They need him back. So you really need a lot to happen. The one thing that the Pacers have had problems with is dealing with Giannis. That's been the biggest issue they've had to try and solve. And the biggest issue they have a problem with isn't playing. They are going to be feeling very good about themselves. Rick Carlisle and those guys, Tyrese Haliburton, they're going to be like, oh, we can beat this team. No Giannis? Oh, we got this. Don't even worry about it. And then the Knicks, that'd be a tough series for them, for sure. I feel very good about the Bucks against the Knicks, providing you have Giannis. Very good. Not really all that concerned about the Knicks series. But this series here, with or without Giannis, I think there's concern. With Giannis, I think they win the series. Not worried. But as we're talking about, you know, do you play him? Don't you play him? The Achilles possibly losing all of next year. Do you know how depressed I will be if something happens to that dude? Oh, my God. DeMine, East Milwaukee, you're next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. DeMine, well, how would you handle this if you're the Bucks?
Hey, man, Giannis about to play, man.
Oh, really? So you're going to play him?
I hate to say it. He don't have to play because if they lose, it's going to be a lot of change. Middleton, I'm sorry, he's going to have to go. We're going to have to go. Jay Crowder should go anyway. He should just walk off the court when they lose.
Yeah, I agree on that.
A lot of people are going to have to go. Yeah. Hey, honestly, probably even Doc.
Doc's not going. They owe him too much money. They're still paying Bud. They got to pay Adrian Griffin. That'd be three coaches they're paying, and they've got to now pay a fourth coach. Not happening. Doc's back next year no matter what happens. Does not matter. Man.
People still get paid, man. I mean, they got another owner from the Browns.
Jimmy Haslam.
Whoever he is.
The Browns.
So, hey.
Yeah.
He's going to have to play, man, or the whole economy of Milwaukee going to look totally different.
I want to have this conversation coming up after this commercial break about something you just said. Thanks for the call. I want to talk about what he just said. He pretty much said, hey, man, they lose. They got to blow it up. In my opinion, there's one element here we're kind of forgetting and missing here. There's a huge element of this that we're missing. I want to bring it all back together here. Coming up next, it is Wisconsin Sports Daily. How would you handle this Giannis situation if you're the Bucks? DeMond says, I'm playing him. He's playing Sunday. Let's go. He's got to play. How would you handle it? Would you rest him? Would you slow play him? And depending on where the series is at, maybe bring him back? And then if that's what you're going to do, you got to convince him that not to create a big scene and try and get himself back on the court. Plus, Tim Dillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst, comes up here in about 20 minutes or so. Dial it up now, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM. The Fan will read some tweets, too. Coming up next, Wisconsin Sports Daily on The Fan.
With Bobby, PC, AJ Green, and Jay Crowder. Giannis all the way! A thunderous finish! Count it! Holy Giannis!
Holy Giannis is right. That highlight courtesy of Valley Sports Wisconsin. Lisa Byington there on the call. With the news yesterday and today from Shams Charania and Woj, both saying the same thing about it's up in the air whether or not Giannis will play at the beginning of this series because of his calf strain. How would you handle Giannis for the Pacers series coming up? It is Wisconsin Sports Daily. Dial it up, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 AM, The Fan. So DeMine right there before the break said he'd play him. Tag with it. Gotta play him, otherwise you can blow it up. Let's go down a dark path together. Let's go together. Hold hands. If he got hurt, and if he missed all of last season, the outlook, I think, from the organization towards him and towards this roster would be completely different. If you lose this series with Giannis, then I agree with DeMine. They're going to blow it up. Maybe not completely blow it up, but Brooke Lopez, I'm guessing, is gone. Middleton, I'm not quite sure of, but they would probably listen. But again, it's going to be hard to move him and the amount of money he makes, and he can't stay healthy. That's going to be a tough sell. But I think they would try and move some pieces. If Giannis is gone all of next year because of injury, I think there's other ramifications that would have to be discussed. Number one is the guy that Stephen A. Smith was talking about the other day, about if they lose, Damian Lillard's got to get out of there. Or they got to trade Damian Lillard. Okay. But if they lose without Giannis, and now Damian Lillard knows there is no Giannis next year, then maybe into the following year, with the Achilles injury, what does Damian Lillard say to that? Does Damian Lillard say, no worries, I got it. Like, let's go. Me, Middleton, Brooke, we got two draft picks, got one of the first, we have an early second round pick. Let's go. I got this. We'll still be a playoff team. We'll compete. We'll see what happens. I'm going to be the alpha. I'm going to be the one. Doc's going to draw some plays like I used to run in Portland, and we're going to go. To be honest with you, I think that's probably how it goes if they lose Giannis. I don't think they blow it up. I don't. I think it saves the core intact for another year, and they try to keep fan money, right? Keep buying tickets, ticket sales. Don't lose that gate. Don't blow it up. Don't do anything crazy. And you try and make that run with this roster. I think it does keep the roster intact more so than if Giannis comes back and they lose that way with a full-strength team and they still get beat. Then I think there's changes because that clearly is not working. But if he's out, well, then I think that's different. I think that's a big difference in how, you know, you look at this as an organization, depending how this whole thing plays out. And Charlie, I want to ask you this before we get to some tweets. If they lose Giannis in this series, how do you think that affects roster next year?
I think it changes a lot going on with this team. Looking forward, this team, like I said earlier, is kind of on their last run here, in my opinion. You know, I think you go into next season, you lose Giannis, you kind of say you're going to give up that season. You know, you go with younger guys, you probably try to build up some of that draft capital that you've lost so far with all the trades and stuff.
If you do that, Damian Lillard will be gone. There is no way. Damian Lillard ain't going through no damn 1 year of wasted, wasted life and chance at a championship. It's just, I'm just telling you, there is no, how are you going to sell that to Damian Lillard? Hey, dude, we know you wanted to leave Portland because, well, they suck and they're rebuilding and you didn't want to be a part of that. But good news, Giannis is out and now we're going to trade the team around you so we suck and maybe we can get a good draft pick. Now, right, let's look at it from that perspective. Let's say they did that. And you go, hey, maybe we can meet the Spurs. That's how they got Tim Duncan. Robinson was hurt that year, and they got lucky and won the lottery, and that's how they got Tim Duncan, and it was a dynasty because of that. Fair point. I think that's very fair. This is the problem. They changed the lottery. They changed the percentages. They're trying to make it so you don't, you know, be god-awful and have all the chances in the world of winning the thing. So it makes it even harder now to do that. But even if that's what you were playing for, number one, there's no guarantee you're going to get it because it's a lottery. Now, if you are guaranteed to get it, and then you have Lillard, Giannis, and some stud at the top of the draft, or let's say there's five studs at the top of the 2025 draft, and you're going to get one of them to go with Lillard and Giannis, maybe. I just don't think you could sell Damian Lillard on that. Because as soon as you tell Damian Lillard that, he's going to be like, South Beach, it's calling. Get me out of here. You can't do that. You cannot. Could you imagine? Giannis is out for the year and you trade Damian Lillard? Oh, just sell Fiserv Forum and call it a day. Just sell it. It's over. Just sell it. Let somebody else buy in. It's done. It's going to be a ghost town. There's no chance. I love you, Charlie. I barely know you. But there is no chance they're blowing that thing up. No way. Not buying it. All right, let's go back to the phones. Q and Tosa, you're next on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan. What's up, Q?
Sparky, I think this whole thing, I mean, can you read the exact Shams quote for me?
Yeah, I got to call it up.
So my thing is, I just think it's a very precise quote, and it might be being misinterpreted.
Well, this all got blown up today because of Wojnarowski. He's the one that
Woj tweeted out today
that he's up in the air. Here we go. Shams Charania. Bucks Giannis is rehabbing daily, but there's some real doubt for his status against series versus Pacers on Sunday, sources say. Although Giannis has rare recovery ability, he's very much up in the air for game one.
And then what's the Woj tweet?
And the Woj tweet, that was earlier today. Again, I saw it and I laughed. I'm like, we just saw this yesterday. Why are we going over all this again? Was ESPN sources, the Milwaukee Bucks are preparing to be without two-time MVP Giannis for the start of their opening round series against the Pacers, but are hopeful treatment on his left calf strain will allow him to return sometime later in the series. Same thing.
That's the thing. Yeah, it says they're preparing to play without Giannis. But, like, he can't practice because he's injured right now. So how could they prepare, like, with him?
Well, sure.
I mean, it's a literal interpretation.
But again, the point of it, though, Q, is, you know, there's one way to game plan knowing you're not going to have him and what you want to run against the Pacers on Sunday, because maybe not right now on Tuesday you're not running stuff and you're just trying to get your stuff still together of, let's pass the basketball, let's practice transition defense, because God knows they're going to kill us on that if we don't. You know, there's things we can practice. And then we can start talking about what we want to run against Indiana once you get to Wednesday and Thursday, maybe Thursday even, and start going through what we want to run against them specifically. Because now it's game planning time. And during the regular season, you're just running your stuff, trying to get better at running your own stuff. You really don't game plan as much unless it's a rivalry or something like that. Now you're in the playoffs. Now you start to game plan and start to take away Tyrese Halliburton and figuring out how you're going to win this game without Giannis. If they thought Giannis was going to play, then game planning would be different probably if they have Giannis.
I mean, I think that in 2021 during the finals, there was a report that he was doubtful and then he played. And
yeah, I think you're right about that. Yep.
There's just a lot of things that can be said in the media, and I think it's all leaked and it's all reviewed.
Okay, that's fine.
Before the tweet comes out.
Fine, either way. Fine, let's say he can play on Sunday, right? He's good. I'm good, coach. I want to play. What are you doing?
I'd play him.
You'd play him.
This roster is old. And I think that there is some truth in the fact that if we continue to fail, that Giannis might start looking over the fence. Not saying he'll request a trade next year, but the closest thing he has said to saying that he wanted to be traded came last summer before we traded for Dame. So I don't know. I want them to go all in again this year. I mean,
and if something happens to Giannis and he's gone next year, you're not going to call in to me, because you call in the postgame show all the time. You're not going to call in all mad that they played him. You're going to just be like, yep, I wanted the same thing. Now we don't have him.
I think it's a calculated risk.
That's what it is.
If somebody is meant to tear their Achilles, they're going to do it. Like,
well,
I don't think there was any way for Aaron Rodgers to avoid tearing his Achilles last season.
But there was but I think that's different, though. There was no warning sign. There was a warning sign with Durant in Golden State, and he forced his way back out there, and they said he could go play, and then he blew his Achilles out, and then later he was all mad that they didn't make him sit and hold him out. And this is in the Bucks' mind right now, looking at this with Giannis, not wanting that same thing to occur.
I think you're right, there is a chance, but I think that there's a better chance that the Bucks PR staff specifically released this information trying to give the Pacers false hope.
Okay.
Or trying to make them game plan with and without Giannis.
Yep.
And I think that's a lot more likely than that this was a significant injury, considering he, like, left on his own accord the night that it happened.
Like, yeah, but he couldn't. Do you remember when it happened? There was nobody around him. He grabbed for the back of his leg. I tweeted out, I thought it was his Achilles then. And then they take him out, and they're like, oh, it's just a calf strain. I was like, phew, I thought it was going to be the Achilles. And then they get to post game, and they ask Doc, hey, are you running tests on the Achilles? And Doc goes, yep, we are, the Achilles and the calf. So they had the same worry that I think I had.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
When I saw it happen, thanks for the call, Q. Appreciate it. But that's just it, guys. This isn't Aaron Rodgers, who just poof went down. No worries, side, boom, down he goes. You have history of this happening to other guys, and then what happened after that, which has to lead you to pause before you decide to do this. And that's what you have to remind Giannis of is KD. RKB tweets at 1250 AM, the Fan, I'm not putting him out there unless or until we lose 2 games in the series. I'm more with you than I am with some of these other guys. Scott tweets at Sparky Radio and at 1250 AM, the Fan, I already know you're going to ask this. My answer, you do not play Giannis until he's 115% healthy. It's not worth having him out a whole year by rushing him back in a playoff chase. I really doubt we can win. This team needs time to play together. That's from Scott tweeting into the show. That's the big thing. This is not easy. It's a very, very tough decision because you very well could sacrifice a playoff series in which you lose, and he may have been able to play, and he might be mad at you forever because he wanted to play, but at least then you know you have him going forward. Coming up next, Tim Dillard, Bally Sports, a Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at DimTillard. Lots to talk about from last night's game, comments made by Pat Murphy that made me cringe a little bit, maybe a little bit, even though they were probably factual to a certain degree. So we'll talk to him about that as well. Coming up next here, Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM, The Fan. All right. Sports Daily, 1250 AM, The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Charlie, you've been producing the show, Other Side of the Glass. Joining us now, as he will, on Tuesdays right around this time. Now, again, it's all going to revolve around the Brewers schedule, but providing the schedule works out like it did today, at 2:40 every Tuesday throughout the remainder of the Brewers season, my guy, Tim Dillon, former Brewers pitcher, analyst now for Bally Sports Wisconsin for Milwaukee Brewers baseball games, will join us at 2:40. Brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. Check them out at thefourthbase.com. You remember it from the movie Major League, the Horseshoe Bar. It's right there by American Family Field, right across from like the Veterans Hospital. It is, the food is just out of this world amazing. CJ does a great job running that place. They do a lot of different cool charity and different events and stuff like that. And the food is high end. When you walk in, you're going to be like, oh, this is a burger and a beer place. And then you quickly realize that they got steak, they got crab legs sometimes, they got lobster sometimes. Like, it is amazing. That steak sandwich, by far, is my favorite. Tim Dillon, what's your favorite thing to eat over there at Fourth Base?
I mean, I honestly just close my eyes and point at the menu, right?
It's so good. It is absolutely so good over there at Fourth Base. All right, so let's talk a little bit, Tim, about this Brewers team. Last night, actually, let's go before last night. Yesterday afternoon on this show, I said that if they turn Joe Ross into a legit guy that ends up being a producer in this rotation, people are going to want to know what the Brewers' secret sauce is, because I think already they think there's some type of secret sauce going on inside that Brewers pitching lab and everything else, because they're tending to get guys that, you know, maybe haven't had as much success elsewhere, and the Brewers get a hold of them, and away they go, and they flourish quite a bit. Your thoughts on what you saw from Joe Ross last night, even though he had that one shaky inning?
Yeah, we talked about it on the postgame show, and it's hard to convince a pitcher, especially in the moment, that even though you didn't get the results, the bones were there. The foundation was there. I thought he threw the ball spectacular for three innings, had a small hiccup in the fourth. I brought up a very specific instance where he was on the rocks, had a man on base. He threw a 3-1 slider to Profar, who's been red hot, ends up getting 3-2. Now he's in the driver's seat a little bit more and ends up getting a pop out. So there was moments where he needed to dig down and make a pitch, and he did. And the fifth inning was just, I mean, if anything could go wrong, it went wrong. There was a walk on a pitch timer violation, catcher's interference, a pass ball, just some very, you know, rare occurrences that all culminate, you know, came to fruition in one inning. And the defense, you know, they got some bad jumps on some balls, which is super rare. So did he throw the ball well? Absolutely. Is the box score going to show that? No. And so what I like is that Pat Murphy said this exact same thing. I think he watches our postgame show and then does his postgame interview.
Of course.
That's when I'm going to start thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But he did say he loves the way that Joe Ross throws the baseball. And, I mean, he was a good pitcher before he was injured. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, the Brewers probably helped him. As far as once he got healthy, the Brewers just built a pitching lab, I believe, out in Arizona. At least I think that's what that secret building was.
Yep.
When I was out in spring. But either way, the Brewers, the secret sauce is just trying to maximize the gifts that a pitcher already has and tries not to turn them into anything that they're not.
But you and I have talked about this in the past, but now since we're back on the radio again, let's talk about it a second time. I mean, there's pitching coaches all over the minors. There's pitching coaches in the majors. But what makes a great pitching coach like Chris Hook? You've told me in the past, you know, some of your favorite pitching coaches and what they do versus some others that didn't do the same.
Yeah, it's paying attention. It's paying attention. Chris Hook was my pitching coach, man, 10 years ago. That makes me sound old. But anyway, I was the oldest guy in AA. He was my pitching coach. And I literally just changed one small thing to my delivery during throwing program with David Goforth. You remember Goforth?
I do.
And we were playing catch, changed one minor thing with my front side. And for the most part, you know, being the oldest guy in the league, Hook and I were closer to the same age than me and some of my teammates. So, you know, he didn't really try to micro anything with me. He kind of just let me do my thing. So anyway, I pitched that night. I think the eighth inning, close game, came in the dugout. And he just said, hey, did you change a little something with that front side delivery? And I was like, yeah. He goes, when did that occur? And I was like, I don't know, maybe 3 hours ago. And I mean, it dawns on me that I started looking back. My favorite pitching coaches are the ones that paid attention. They pay attention when you're in the bullpen. They pay attention on the mound. They can see when something's different, and that's your job. And I'm going to be honest, not all pitching coaches can do that, and especially can't do that across an entire roster of pitchers that you have to cover. So kudos to him, but also surrounding himself with people that do the same thing. They got Jim Henderson now. So the more eyes that you trust, the better. And I just, it's a rarity. It really is. As many coaches I've had, I can't, you know, each one has their own gifts. But Chris Hook pays attention more than almost any person I've ever come across.
He is Tim Dillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant, seafood and steak, and oh, it's so good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Uribe. With Pat Murphy over the weekend pitching him, I believe it was in the seventh inning, in a meaty part of the lineup against the Orioles. Now, obviously it makes sense. That's your best reliever out of your bullpen. Bring him in. If you get through that part of it, you feel better about the eighth and the ninth, even though you won't have your closer at that point. However, as a fan, not as a pitcher like you, but as a fan, I've seen it happen so much where a closer pitches in a non-save situation and gets blown up, or pitches in a different inning outside of the ninth inning and gets blown up. How much of that is just mental and it being different when you're not in your routine pitching in the same situation?
Well, I honestly don't think that was the case for Uribe. It's not like Craig Kimbrel coming in the fourth inning, right? Like, he's not, right. He hasn't been around that long, I think, for that to be normal for him. You know, he's not Trevor Hoffman, come out for two innings, leave, and come back in the seventh. Like, he's willing to take on any role. I don't think he's settled on anything. I think he just wants the ball. But I will say this, he's been struggling with his slider. When we talk about this, we got a podcast episode coming out, Brewers Unfiltered. Check it out on wherever you get your podcast. Shameless plug.
Odyssey app as well. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're Adam McAlvey and Sophia Minner and myself, we talk about this. And my point was that when you're coming out of spring training, the one thing that you usually don't have the most control over is your off-speed stuff, and primarily your breaking ball. Very rarely is someone in Arizona snapping off legit curveballs. It's just tough to do. It's the last thing that develops throughout a season. So I think for him, his fastball is amazing. Right now, his slider he's missing with it. And because he's missing with it, hitters don't have to worry about it. So they've written that off, and they're hitting fastball. And so when you're a guy that only has to throw fastball because he has no confidence in the slider, you get hit around a little bit and you start trying to make things super perfect, and that is not who he needs to be. So once you start seeing these sliders land, the fastball is going to get way better again. And honestly, that's really all it is. It's just a matter of time. His stuff plays now and will always play, but I don't think it was because he's in the seventh inning type situation. I think it was having trouble of just finding the location with the slider.
Pat Murphy always makes fun of Wade Miley for being an old guy, which I get. He pitched well his last outing coming off of being hurt. Gets Dylan Cease coming up tonight, the former White Sox pitcher going for the Padres tonight. What makes Wade Miley as good as Wade Miley has been with the Brewers?
Well, I mean, he likes pitching for the Brewers. You know, he had that stint that was one of the best seasons of his career. He leaves. It doesn't go as well. Comes back and has another great season last year. Already started off really well. His last time out, four innings. No strikeouts, couple of walks, but no runs. I think what makes him interesting is that batters in particular, opposing teams, they can play months and not face a pitcher like Wade Miley. He's a rarity. If you think about the Padres lineup today, they got Jackson Merrill, he's 20 years old. I doubt Jackson Merrill has faced that many pitchers like Wade Miley, where he's not going to throw super hard. He's going to change speeds on you. He's going to challenge you by pitching inside, and that he's willing to let you hit the baseball. You know, it's not a lot of swing and miss stuff. It's here, I want you to swing it. And when a guy's not throwing 95 plus or 100 plus, I guess in this day and age, the pressure is almost on the hitter. Okay, here, hit this baseball. And the hitters feel that. So they get over-anxious and start swinging at pitches, and it's all about missing barrels. I think what Wade Miley does a great job of, he throws the unexpected, knowing that the pressure's on them to swing, and he misses barrels. And listen, if you surround a pitcher like that with a superb defense, the result is Wade Miley doing what he does and putting up zeros.
I got one last one for you, Tim Dillard, and that is Freddy Peralta and the sheer dominance that it looks like he transformed into versus previous. I mean, he gets thrust into the number one role. Woodruff hurt. They bring him back, even though he's not going to pitch this year. Burns is in Baltimore, and they go, okay, Freddy, you're the ace. Go do it. And he's done it very well so far.
Yeah, he's an ace. He was an ace before. And, I mean, honestly, you look back at his second half of the season last year, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he hasn't stopped. And I think he's embraced the role Pat Murphy talks about all the time. But what I love about Freddie, we were teammates years ago, watching him develop, he is the exact same guy, right? Like, the only thing that's different is his age. That's it. He's the exact same guy. He loves coming to the field. He loves digging in with his teammates. I saw him out for early work at American Family Field the other day, and he was power shagging batting practice, early batting practice at around 2:30. Just an amazing individual that knows how to pitch, and he pitches the old school kind of way of feel because he has so many things that he can rely on in his arsenal. He just watches the hitter. And I love that because I felt like it took me a long time in my career to kind of learn what the hitter was trying to do and for me to pitch accordingly. So if he sees a guy that's getting good swings on his heater up, he's going to do something different. If he sees a guy sitting on a slider or a curveball, like, he recognizes that very quickly. And I think having William Contreras behind the dish, they are so on the same page. I'm not even sure they use pitch gum. I feel like they just wink at each other and know what's up.
Hey, I got to say, I love having you back, but I'm going to miss the car school line videos that was happening.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that because on Tim's Twitter account, if you go back and look, he always was lip-syncing movies or singing songs. I don't know where the idea came from, but I thought they were funny.
Yeah, well, my youngest, he's 8 years old, and the bus system where we live was kind of having problems, so he was getting home almost at dark, right? So off season, I'm not working, no baseball. I would go pick him up, and I'm sitting in this car line for like an hour.
Yep.
And I just, man, trapped in a car with just myself and my brain, I don't wish that on anybody. So I just decided, well, I was going to have some fun with it. And I ended up shooting about 50, 55 videos of me trapped in the car, doing anything from commercials to music videos to, at TV shows, movies.
Yep.
It didn't matter. I was like, whatever was on the docket that day. And anyway, if you have nothing to do right now, I invite you to go look at those videos on social media.
Yeah, I listen to 1250 and then watch his videos. They're very funny. I'm telling you. They're good. They're good stuff. At Dim Dillard on Twitter.
I'll update you, though. So they fixed the bus system right around opening day. I was leaving out to do opening day in New York when the Brewers were playing the Mets. And they got the bus system fixed, so now he gets to ride the bus, which is what he wants to do anyway.
So you wouldn't be doing it now anyhow. So it really worked out perfectly timing-wise.
It's over.
Yeah, that's good. I love it. Tim Dillard, follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Sparky.
You bet. You take care of that. He is brought to you by Fourth Base, a restaurant. Again, that is where the Major League movie was filmed, inside that little horseshoe restaurant. Again, steakhouse and seafood restaurant. And I promise you, when you walk in, you're going to be like, Sparky said it's a steakhouse and seafood restaurant. This looks like a beer and burger bar. Try the food. Just try the food. And when you try the food, take a picture. And tweeted at Sparky Ray and go, damn, this stuff is good. How the heck have I never been here before? I'm just telling you, man. Yeah, I promise you, you are not going to tweet me and be like, it wasn't that bad. It was all right. It wasn't great. I don't know anybody has went there and hasn't raved about that place, including myself. In fact, the last time I was there was it last week, 2 weeks ago? We shot a reenactment video of the movie scene itself that CJ is going to, he had it like professionally shot, and I'm one of the people in it, and he's going to put it up on, I think he's going to put it up on the website, use it on his social media and so forth, and it was a lot of fun. I had a steak sandwich and fries that night. Good stuff. Again, check him out online at thefourthbase.com. All right, I want to play that Pat Murphy presser from last night. I'm not playing the whole thing. It's a one-minute cut. A one-minute cut is what I'd like to play. I'm going to do that after this commercial break at the top of the next hour. And then I want to get into a situation that occurred inside of that Joe Ross inning that I haven't really had a chance to talk about in the last year and a half. So I want to talk about that, too, as it relates to what happened last night. Our One in the Bush, Wisconsin Sports Daily. Again, if you want to jump in on the conversation at any point, save it in your phone, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet at us at 1250 AM The Fan. Don't forget, giving box tickets away again today. All you got to do is go to 1250amthefan.com. Have a chance to win box tickets for this Sunday's playoff game against the Pacers. Again, go to 1250amthefan.com for your chance to win Bucks playoff tickets for this Sunday's game.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When I saw it happen, thanks for the call, Q. Appreciate it. But that's just it, guys. This isn't Aaron Rodgers, who just poof, went down. No worry, side, boom, down he goes. You have history of this happening to other guys, and then what happened after that, which has to lead you to pause before you decide to do this. And that's what you have to remind Giannis of is KD. RKB, tweet at 1250 AM, the fan. I'm not putting him out there unless or until we lose two games in the series. I'm more with you than I am with some of these other guys. Scott tweets at Sparky Radio and at 1250 AM, the fan. I already know you're going to ask this. My answer, you do not play Giannis until he's 115% healthy. It's not worth having him out a whole year by rushing him back in a playoff chase. I really doubt we can win. This team needs time to play together. That's from Scott tweeting into the show. That's the big thing. This is not easy. It's a very, very tough decision because you very well could sacrifice a playoff series in which you lose and he may have been able to play and he might be mad at you forever because he wanted to play, but at least then you know you have him going forward. Coming up next, Tim Dillard, Bally Sports, Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Lots to talk about from last night's game. Comments made by Pat Murphy that made me cringe a little bit, maybe a little bit. even though they were probably factual to a certain degree. So we'll talk to him about that as well. Coming up next here, Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM, The Fan. All right. Sports Daily, 1250 AM, The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Charlie Hughes in producing the show, other side of the glass. Joining us now, as he will, on Tuesdays right around this time. Now, again, it's all going to revolve around the Brewers schedule, but providing the schedule works out like it did today, at 2:40 every Tuesday throughout the remainder of the Brewers season, my guy, Tim Dillard. Former Brewers pitcher, analyst now for Bally Sports Wisconsin for Milwaukee Brewers baseball games, will join us at 2:40. Brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. Check them out at thefourthbase.com. You remember it from the movie Major League, the Horseshoe Bar. It's right there by American Family Field, right across from like the Veterans Hospital. It is. The food is just out of this world amazing. CJ does a great job running that place. They do a lot of different cool charity and different events and stuff like that. And the food is high end. When you walk in, you're going to be like, oh, this is a burger and a beer place. And then you quickly realize that they got steak, they got crab legs sometimes, they got lobster sometimes. Like, it is amazing. That steak sandwich by far is my favorite. Tim Dillard, what's your favorite thing to eat over there at Fourth Base?
I mean, I honestly just close my eyes and point at the menu, right?
It's so good. It is absolutely so good over there at Fourth Base. All right, so let's talk a little bit, Tim, about this Brewers team. Last night, actually, let's go before last night. Yesterday afternoon on this show, I said that if they turn Joe Ross into a legit guy that ends up being a producer in this rotation, people are going to want to know what the Brewers' secret sauce is, because I think already they think there's some type of secret sauce going on inside that Brewers pitching lab and everything else, because they're tending to get guys that, you know, maybe haven't had as much success elsewhere, and the Brewers get a hold of them, and away they go, and they flourish quite a bit. Your thoughts on what you saw from Joe Ross last night, even though he had that one shaky inning?
Yeah, we talked about it on the postgame show, and it's hard to convince a pitcher, especially in the moment, that even though you didn't get the results, the bones were there, the foundation was there. I thought he threw the ball spectacular for three innings, had a small hiccup in the fourth. I brought up a very specific instance where he was on the rocks, had a man on base. He threw a 3-1 slider to Profar, who's been red hot, ends up getting 3-2. Now he's in the driver's seat a little bit more and ends up getting a pop out. So there was moments where he needed to dig down and make a pitch, and he did. And the fifth inning was just, I mean, if anything could go wrong, it went wrong. There was a walk on a pitch timer violation, catcher's interference, a pass ball, just some very, you know, rare occurrences that all culminate, you know, came to fruition in one inning. And the defense, you know, they got some bad jumps on some balls, which is super rare. So, did he throw the ball well? Absolutely. Is the box score going to show that? No. And so what I like is that Pat Murphy said this exact same thing. I think he watches our postgame show and then does his postgame interview.
Of course.
That's when I'm going to start thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But he did say he loves the way that Joe Ross throws the baseball. And, I mean, he was a good pitcher before he was injured. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, the Brewers probably helped him. As far as once he got healthy, the Brewers just built a pitching lab, I believe, out in Arizona. At least I think that's what that secret building was.
Yep.
When I was out in spring. But either way, the Brewers, the secret sauce is just trying to maximize the gifts that a pitcher already has and tries not to turn them into anything that they're not.
But you and I have talked about this in the past, but now since we're back on the radio again, let's talk about it a second time. I mean, there's pitching coaches all over the minors. There's pitching coaches in the majors. But what makes a great pitching coach like Chris Hook? You've told me in the past, you know, some of your favorite pitching coaches and what they do versus some others that didn't do the same.
Yeah, it's paying attention. It's paying attention. Chris Hook was my pitching coach, man, 10 years ago. That makes me sound old. But anyway, I was the oldest guy in AA. He was my pitching coach. And I literally just changed one small thing to my delivery during throwing program with David Goforth. Remember Goforth?
I do.
And we were playing catch, changed one minor thing with my front side,
And for the most part, you know, being the oldest guy in the league, Hook and I were closer to the same age than me and some of my teammates. So, you know, he didn't really try to micro anything with me. He kind of just let me do my thing. So anyway, I pitched that night. I think the eighth inning, close game, came in the dugout, and he just said, "Hey, did you change a little something with that front side delivery?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "When did that occur?" And I was like, "I don't know, maybe 3 hours ago." And I mean, it dawns on me that I started looking back. My favorite pitching coaches are the ones that paid attention. They pay attention when you're in the bullpen. They pay attention on the mound. They can see when something's different, and that's your job. And I'm going to be honest, not all pitching coaches can do that. And especially can't do that across an entire roster of pitchers that you have to cover. So kudos to him, but also surrounding himself with people that do the same thing. They got Jim Henderson now. So the more eyes that you trust, the better. And I just, it's a rarity. It really is. As many coaches I've had, I can't, you know, each one has their own gifts. But Chris Hook pays attention more than almost any person I've ever come across.
He is Tim Dillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant, seafood and steak, and oh, it's so good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Uribe. With Pat Murphy over the weekend pitching him, I believe it was in the seventh inning, in a meaty part of the lineup against the Orioles. Now, obviously, it makes sense. That's your best reliever out of your bullpen. Bring him in. If you get through that part of it, you feel better about the eighth and the ninth, even though you won't have your closer at that point. However, as a fan, not as a pitcher like you, but as a fan, I've seen it happen so much where a closer pitches in a non-save situation and gets blown up, or pitches in a different inning outside of the ninth inning and gets blown up. How much of that is just mental and it being different when you're not in your routine pitching in the same situation?
Well, I honestly don't think that was the case for Uribe. It's not like Craig Kimbrel coming in the fourth inning, right? Like he's not, right. He hasn't been around that long, I think, for that to be normal for him. You know, he's not Trevor Hoffman, come out for two innings, leave, and come back in the seventh. Like he's willing to take on any role. I don't think he's settled on anything. I think he just wants the ball. But I will say this, he's been struggling with his slider. When we talk about this, we got a podcast episode coming out, Brewers Unfiltered. Check it out on wherever you get your podcast. Shameless plug.
Odyssey app as well. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're Adam McAlvey and Sophia Minner and myself, we talk about this. And my point was that when you're coming out of spring training, the one thing that you usually don't have the most control over is your off-speed stuff, and primarily your breaking ball. Very rarely is someone in Arizona snapping off legit curveballs. It's just tough to do. It's the last thing that develops throughout a season. So I think for him, his fastball is amazing. Right now, his slider he's missing with it. And because he's missing with it, hitters don't have to worry about it. So they've written that off, and they're hitting fastball. And so when you're a guy that only has to throw fastball because he has no confidence in the slider, you get hit around a little bit and you start trying to make things super perfect, and that is not who he needs to be. So once you start seeing these sliders land, the fastball is going to get way better again. And honestly, that's really all it is. It's just a matter of time. His stuff plays now and will always play, but I don't think it was because he's in the seventh inning type situation. I think it was having trouble of just finding the location with the slider.
Pat Murphy always makes fun of Wade Miley for being an old guy, which I get. He pitched well his last outing coming off of being hurt. Gets Dylan Cease coming up tonight, the former White Sox pitcher going for the Padres tonight. What makes Wade Miley as good as Wade Miley has been with the Brewers?
Well, I mean, he likes pitching for the Brewers. You know, he had that stint that was one of the best seasons of his career. He leaves. It doesn't go as well. Comes back and has another great season last year. Already started off really well. His last time out, four innings. No strikeouts, couple of walks, but no runs. I think what makes him interesting is that batters in particular, opposing teams, they can play months and not face a pitcher like Wade Miley. He's a rarity. If you think about the Padres lineup today, they got Jackson Merrill, he's 20 years old. I doubt Jackson Merrill has faced that many pitchers like Wade Miley, where he's not going to throw super hard. He's going to change speeds on you. He's going to challenge you by pitching inside, and that he's willing to let you hit the baseball. You know, it's not a lot of swing and miss stuff. It's, here, I want you to swing it. And when a guy's not throwing 95 plus, or 100-plus, I guess in this day and age, the pressure is almost on the hitter. Okay, here, hit this baseball. And the hitters feel that. So they get over-anxious and start swinging at pitches, and it's all about missing barrels. I think what Wade Miley does a great job of, he throws the unexpected, knowing that the pressure's on them to swing, and he misses barrels. And listen, if you surround a pitcher like that with a superb defense, the result is Wade Miley doing what he does and putting up zeros.
I got one last one for you, Tim Dillard, and that is Freddy Peralta. And the sheer dominance that it looks like he's transformed into versus previous. I mean, he gets thrust into the number one role. Woodruff hurt. They bring him back, even though he's not going to pitch this year. Burns is in Baltimore, and they go, okay, Freddie, you're the ace. Go do it. And he's done it very well so far.
Yeah, he's an ace. He was an ace before. And, I mean, honestly, you look back at his second half of the season last year, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he hasn't stopped. And I think he's embraced the role Pat Murphy talks about all the time. But what I love about Freddie, we were teammates years ago, watching him develop, he is the exact same guy, right? Like, the only thing that's different is his age. That's it. He's the exact same guy. He loves coming to the field. He loves digging in with his teammates. I saw him out for early work at American Family Field the other day, and he was power shagging batting practice, early batting practice at around 2:30. Just an amazing individual that knows how to pitch, and he pitches the old school kind of way of feel, because he has so many things that he can rely on in his arsenal. He just watches the hitter, and I love that, because I felt like it took me a long time in my career to kind of learn what the hitter was trying to do and for me to pitch accordingly. So if he sees a guy that's getting good swings on his heater up, he's going to do something different. If he sees a guy sitting on a slider or a curveball, like, he recognizes that very quickly. And I think having William Contreras behind the dish, they are so on the same page. I'm not even sure they use pitch gum. I feel like they just wink at each other and know what's up.
Hey, I got to say, I love having you back, but I'm going to miss the car school line videos that was happening.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that, because on Tim's Twitter account, if you go back and look, he always was lip-syncing movies or singing songs. I don't know where the idea came from, but I thought they were funny.
Yeah, well, my youngest, he's 8 years old, and the bus system where we live was kind of having problems, so he was getting home almost at dark, right? So off-season, I'm not working, no baseball. I would go pick him up, and I'm sitting in this car line for like an hour.
Yep.
And I just, man, trapped in a car with just myself and my brain, I don't wish that on anybody. So I just decided, well, I was going to have some fun with it. And I ended up shooting about 50, 55 videos of me trapped in the car, doing anything from commercials to music videos to, TV shows, movies.
Yep.
It didn't matter. I was like, whatever was on the docket that day. And anyway, if you have nothing to do right now, I invite you to go look at those videos on social media.
Yeah, I listen to 1250 and then watch his videos. They're very funny. I'm telling you. They're good. They're good stuff. At Dim Dillard on Twitter.
I'll update you, though. So they fixed the bus system right around opening day. I was leaving out to do opening day in New York when the Brewers were playing the Mets. And they got the bus system fixed, so now he gets to ride the bus, which is what he wants to do anyway.
So you wouldn't be doing it now anyhow. So it really worked out perfectly timing-wise.
It's over.
Yeah, that's good. I love it. Tim Dillard, follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yep. Great. Thanks, Sparky.
You bet. You take care of that. He is brought to you by Fourth Base, a restaurant again. That is where the Major League movie was filmed, inside that little horseshoe restaurant. Again, steakhouse and seafood restaurant. And I promise you, when you walk in, you're going to be like, Sparky said it's a steakhouse and seafood restaurant. This looks like a beer and burger bar. Try the food. Just try the food. And when you try the food, take a picture. And tweet it at Sparky Ray and go, damn, this stuff is good. How the heck have I never been here before? I'm just telling you, man. Yeah, I promise you, you are not going to tweet me and be like, it wasn't that bad. It was all right. It wasn't great. I don't know anybody that's went there and hasn't raved about that place, including myself. In fact, the last time I was there was it last week, 2 weeks ago? We shot a reenactment video of the movie scene itself that CJ is going to, he had it like professionally shot, and I'm one of the people in it. And he's going to put it up on, I think he's going to put it up on the website, use it on his social media and so forth. And it was a lot of fun. I had a steak sandwich and fries that night. Good stuff. Again, check him out online at thefourthbase.com. Com. All right. I want to play that Pat Murphy presser from last night. I'm not playing the whole thing. It's a one-minute cut. A one-minute cut is what I'd like to play. I'm going to do that after this commercial break at the top of the next hour. And then I want to get into a situation that occurred inside of that Joe Ross inning that I haven't really had a chance to talk about in the last year and a half. So I want to talk about that, too, as it relates to what happened last night. Our one in the books, Wisconsin Sports Daily. Again, if you want to jump in on the conversation at any point, save it in your phone, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet at us at 1250 AM The Fan. Don't forget, giving box tickets away again today. All you got to do is go to 1250amthefan.com. Have a chance to win box tickets for this Sunday's playoff game against the Pacers. Again, go to 1250amthefan.com for your chance to win Bucks playoff tickets for this Sunday's game.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.